Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Nerd Stuff. So this is episode 32. My name is Kron, as always, and with me is my buddy here, Freak. Freak?
Hey, guys. I'm here, as always, with Kron. It's an honor to be here. It's fun to be here. Episode 32.
Yeah. Man,
we're in the big trees.
Yeah, big trees.
40 soon.
40 sooner, right? Right. So yeah. We do have a lot of things cooked up over the coming weeks as well. So a bunch of special guests we have lined up. But enough about those teasers, as we will be beginning our episode for this week. And we will be starting it off with none other than some a bit of updates on tournament results. We have, of course, from Southeast Asia, the recently concluded ESL 1 Thailand, which was dominated by TNC. So I think this is like a no-brainer. They've always been a top team, right, Freak?
Easy for TNC. Come on. Where's Fnatic? Oh, they lost.
they lost, and they also changed up after that loss. They have replaced, which is actually pretty sad for me, they replaced Jabs in the starting lineup. So their whole reason is Jabs has been itching to play position 4 again. Like, he admits that he's not a natural position 5, even though he's a good captain.
Yeah,
I think one of the better captains we have here in Southeast Asia. But yeah, alas, he really wants to go back to position 4. And, you know, DJ God has the role of position 4 right now for Fnatic, and he's not about to give that up just yet. So for now, they have called on AU. So we have like a 3 out of 5 old Fnatic, right?
Yeah. And it's Philippine land again. Yeah, we are all back.
Yes.
The old crew is coming back together.
Yes, so there's a lot of things with this lineup that to be excited about. So it's Raven, Tims, and AU. So they're like OG TNC as well. But, you know, they have to prove themselves that they can beat the current TNC, which is also a mix of different nationalities. Now they're not pure Filipinos anymore. But yeah, congrats. Enough about that. Congrats to TNC for winning the ESL 1 Thailand. Speaking of another good team, they are on their 7th straight championship, from what I believe, Secret. They have never missed a beat, and they have the same goes for Omega League as well. So what are your thoughts with Secret? I mean, this is not a surprise for me. Like, I know Secret will dominate. But the thing about it is, Secret will dominate, and they've dominated as well in the past, but they've always fallen short during TI.
If you think about it, Ron, if you think about it, this year was the best year for Secret to win TI. And they've just proven that they would have won TI by winning this Omega League tournament. I mean, I know the pressure and the setting isn't the same as TI. So maybe that's why OG didn't have the power to win again. If you look at the lineups, other than the lack of Southeast Asian representation and the lack of China representation, it's basically a TI.
Yes. Actually, I will disagree with you on that one. I will be your foil and throw a wrench.
Disagreeing for the sake of disagreeing.
This isn't the best OG that we have. This is without Anna.
But this is this year's OG. This is their OG that they managed to scrunch together.
I don't think they managed to scrunch together. I think Anna just refuses to play without TI.
Honestly, so, if I'm Anna or Thompson, I mean, Thompson played, right? But if I'm Anna or Thompson, right, I'll be like, yeah, no TI, I'm not playing. I'm a fucking millionaire. You know? I got so much money. What am I playing this like pathetic little league for? It's like, ha, what? Are you kidding me? Don't waste my time. I'm going to go enjoy my $3.5 million. I'm just going to go on a long trip. Fuck you all.
Well, you can't even go on a long trip. Because of the pandemic. Yeah. You can't go on a long trip. You're stuck at home.
Exactly. I'd rather stay at home and do my new masterclass. Jeez, I'm gonna earn more money. Fuck y'all. Oh my god.
I mean, it's secret. I guess you are right. It's their best year.
They were supposed to win this year. Look.
But time Puppy, and time
they
again.
Stole it from Puppy.
No, every year, the person who steals it away from Puppy is always Kuroki.
Like Kuroki or No Tail. Man, the three of them,
yeah,
they've been in such a amazing kind of like a triple threat.
Yeah, because last year it was if my memory serves me right, there was also Kuroki's stack that took Secret out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's been 2 years consecutive that Kuroki has taken out Secret. And that's the thing about Kuroki's stack as well. They don't actually do well until TI for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a reverse Secret. I don't know. Maybe it's just my fanboy leaking out.
No, yeah, fanboy. Yeah. So this is... Whatever you're saying is so irrational. Like, the magic, right?
The magic
you're saying
that
you're
is
claiming
Kuroki.
Is because of the TI stage. I'm like, no. What I think about OG, right, is that they play the same no matter what. Even if it's TI, they are still playing the same. But everyone else gets like conked out by the pressure. That's why they lose.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you will never know because there is no TI this year. But you know you know what's happening? Worlds, and they have recently concluded their LCS, which are the champions, are TSM. So TSM Team Solo Mid, together with Double Lift. I know there's a lot of controversy with that transfer. We discussed it before. But he's managed to prove itself that transfer was the right decision. Right?
Easy.
Yeah, so he's managed to get himself in as the champions for the LCS. So props there for Double Lift. And next up we have, I think, their most rooted team right now in terms of who are qualified. We'll get that in a bit later. The LEC champs, G2. So I think they're Caps and everyone else, they're the most rooted ones. Since they did fall short last Worlds, I believe, right?
Yeah,
they did fall short last Worlds. People are rooting for them to finally take it home this year. But let's go back. Let's go a little, dial it back a little bit, back to our home turf here at the ECS. So we already know Match Esports have qualified for the PCS. But we're more interested in who gets to stay in the PCS, actually, since we're
relegation.
Yeah. So the promotion matches, which happened, there's two promotion matches. It was for Singapore, it was Resurgence fighting for their slot and Impunity actually trying to prove themselves. And this time around, Impunity has won and Resurgence will be out. How many years have they stayed in PCS Resurgence?
I think 2 years.
2 years? They've been around for a while. And
since the start, right? So it's only been 2 years, right?
Yeah, so PCS, since the start of PCS, they've been in. So Impunity has managed to knock them out of their thrones. Yeah, the throne. So. But for the Philippines side, it was Liab and Panic Time. So I think it's... Yep. Panic Time did not panic. Panic Time did panic, rather. Because they weren't up to snuff against Liab. So Liab will stay.
Yeah.
And PNC will have until next tender.
They have the next cycle.
Yeah, next cycle.
Get a chance, another chance. When relegation is kicking again. Yeah, just a bit sad for Resurgence. I think a lot of factors came into play when it comes to seeing their performance. I think at the start of the season, they were okay. But I think when it comes to matching up against the other teams, I think they just lack the kind of quality of practice. And they also have like a lot of performance anxiety from what I've been seeing. They are actually better players than what they kind of have displayed in the PCS. Yeah. And they brought on their coach too late, a bit too late. They needed a coach like 1 year ago to instill in them like the training rhetoric and the confidence. And I think that's why their results suffered, because of the lack of confidence.
I feel like they need like a team psychologist or something. So that's also been a trend for a while now. So to, you know, to hype them up to...
In Singapore, the standard of competition is not very mature. Like, you have players coming and going, and that's of our NS, right? Our mature, so-called mature 18-year-old players near the peak of their careers are whisked away into national service, and those who are super determined to continue are few and far in between. I mean, just look at Chow Wee, right? So Chow Wee is proof that if you are willing to put in the work, you are able to actually overcome anything, like including NS. Ice is another good example. But they are the peak of the peak. They are the pinnacle of our esports talents. So if you are looking at Chow Wee, Ice, and Sien, this is basically the top 0.01.
Yeah.
And our 5% below that isn't going to earn any money, or isn't going to earn enough money to make competing a stable lifestyle, especially in the context of like our cost of living and how much social pressure you have to settle in on a full-time job. So yeah, with the amount of motivation and willpower it takes to be a pro player, to pursue being a pro player while holding on a full-time job is a great feat. And it's clear by the lack of our players that not many people can do it.
True. That's why a lot of them, I feel, have already transitioned into more managerial side of things for esports.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
and they go
stable
overseas because they are the most talented.
Yeah, it's a stable job, like what you've said, and it's still in the realm of esports. So those are options. Yeah. But speaking of, we talked about earlier, who is not good enough, and it is also one of the all-time favorites, SKT T1 or just T1 now. So their League of Legends team, along with Faker, is now out of Worlds 2020 contention.
Oh no, Faker.
Yeah, it's like the Dendy of League of Legends, right? Like it's guaranteed.
Like
to...
The first time Dendy didn't manage to get into TI. The first time. Can you imagine? When Dendy missed TI, they had to put him in a patch costume and shove him onto the fan playoff stage so that the whole TI wouldn't freak out.
Yeah, they had to make him do All-Stars.
Yeah.
Well,
they forced
him
into it.
I don't know what they're going to do, because I'm pretty sure Faker's going to be expensive if they hire him.
He can't make appearance. He has to be in the bubble to make an appearance, and I don't think they're going to put him into the bubble just for a guest appearance.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Should, but given how Riot is, I don't think they will. They'll just probably show the Faker video. Oh, the 2019 footage. Oh, he's so sad. He's freaking out. We won't have any 2020 Worlds footage to show Faker freaking out. Oh, no. Oh, sad.
So,
too bad.
Well,
try again 2021.
Do you think it's high time Faker to hang the mouse and keyboard?
No, he's not that old yet. He still has... He can at least be a coach. Come on.
No, yeah, I mean, coach. Yeah, that's why. Like, in terms of a professional player,
because
they already subbed him out a few times. So not just a few, but they've been subbing him out in matches.
Yeah,
as well.
On and off, he's been in SK T1 for 7 years since 2013 February. He's 24 years old. Come on, he can continue for until like 28. Come on,
yeah, definitely.
Good years in him left.
Well, I guess there's still a few years.
Faker's problem is T1. It's not Faker himself. He's clearly still a pretty good player. I mean, like one of the most mechanically gifted. But he's like S4. You need a proper team. You can't be S4 and carry yourself into TI.
Yeah.
Or into Worlds in this case.
Okay, yeah. I think that gives like a clear vision for, to paint a bigger picture for our viewers. For example, if you're a LoL fan, then you know the comparisons. Or if you're a Dota 2 fan, you'd know a few comparisons as well. Since these two are very, the destinies or the origin of these two are very intertwined for Dota 2 and League of Legends.
Yep.
Speaking of origins, Freak, we have here. So C9 has made a big reveal that it has shocked the world of esports. So CSGO, one of the all-time favorites of everyone. I think everyone has heard of it. If you're into games or whatnot, you've heard of CSGO in one form or another. And they're also the baseline for a lot of good FPS games. So C9, they have shook the world of esports industry. Not in like achievement or anything, but in terms of finances and how you normally run things. Because this is a very, I would say, a traditional sports way of approaching a reveal. Would you say? So what they did was, they have publicly revealed the contract of the player.
The contract amount.
Contract amount. Yeah, contract amount of Alex, IGN Alex McMeekin, which is the captain, the IGL, and the rifler of the new C9 CSGO team. So it'll be a 3-year deal starting September 9, 2020, with amounting to $1,650,000. That's actually really a lot for a contract. And, you know,
for a 3-year contract.
Yeah, for a 3-year contract. And they've publicly showed it, like how you'd normally do it for traditional sports.
Yeah. So publicly show is a bit of a misnomer, right? They disclose certain details, but the full details obviously will not be disclosed. I think this is a really good step forward. If you guys need a comparison, I think the football industry constantly leaks the player values, like Man U paid like $300 million for player X, but they never reveal how much the player's contract worth is, because that also includes many other endorsement deals and etc. Which means that our esports disclosure is actually better than what the footballers would be. So just to break down the contract value for you guys, the contract value includes any potential partnerships, but Henry, which is the C9 in the roster, he has said that it does not obligate the player to stream. So that means other than the C9 endorsement for their own merchandise, I think the 1.9 includes the player salary as well as their sign or sell off bonus, which is still a lot of money. That's incredible.
Well, you know, $1.6 million, that is a lot of money. I don't think we've talked about Henry G as well stepping out of casting to pursue being the new general manager of Cloud9. That's also, I think, a pretty big move from Henry G.
With full disclosure. So his attitude is to bring more transparency and disclosure to the CSGO world, which has been plagued by match fixing and other betting scandals. So cheating, I think more transparency would really
what
help.
We recently covered
cheating
just last week.
Damn. You're right.
Yeah, so those things. So at least with Henry G in the at the helm of Cloud9, I think overall the esports section, general manager for Cloud9, I think they're in good hands. I feel it's the same vein as when Milk stepped away from the spotlight and started directing, being the overall esports head of what was it before? I know he's in 100 Thieves. And he's in 100 Thieves now, right?
Yeah,
he's in 100 Thieves now. But it was, I forgot the past one. I think it's NIP or something. But yeah, Milk did pursue that career as well when he hanged the mic to stop being a full-time shoutcaster for Dota 2. So it's a good trend to see that there is something of a upwards, that is it, would you call it an upgrade or a side grade to your career?
I don't know, getting a full-time job is pretty cool. being a caster like sucks, okay? You're living paycheck to paycheck. Make no mistake, casters are blessed with so-called a fun job, but the monetary aspect is not fun at all. Having to manage your money, having to worry about your next project, having to think about like undercutting your friends just to secure the next project, that's the worst feeling ever.
Yes. So many other
complexities. Yeah.
It's not easy to do, to leave something you love and, you know, decide to pursue. It's technically the same thing. It's something they love to do.
That's true.
They're still the same industry.
Get to be a decision maker with a lot of money. So you might as well. You'll actually be contributing more to the industry, right?
Yeah. So it's contributing more to what you love, or at least what you've grown to love. I mean, most people didn't think before. I mean, for the likes of Henry G, Milk, and everyone else, they didn't really think that there was going to be an industry when they started. They were just really doing it for fun, right? For most of them.
Yep.
Yep. And now here they are. But not all stories come to the same end. So for this particular story that we will be discussing next something sick, disgusting, all the horrendous things that you could think about. So I guess a trigger warning would be applicable at this point to skip for the next topic. For the next topic we have will be Overwatch Pro Free was recently found guilty of sexual assault involving a minor. So, I mean, it's pretty, I think we're all in agreement here that the punishment that should be given is that there should be a punishment given, right?
He should just go to jail.
Yeah. So,
go directly to jail.
And yes, he will. He has been sentenced 12 months to prison with a 40-hour, I think, therapy of some sort. I don't know. I feel it's still a bit light. 12 months.
12 months.
Is
really light.
1 year,
basically.
Yeah, it's really light.
I guess it depends on the magnitude of the offense. So he's being charged under Korean law. So we don't really know the exact details. But the thing is, he was in a relationship with the minor. So
yeah,
I guess because the minor was unable to represent herself, because to protect the details, I guess.
True.
But this is not even the first sexual misconduct problem, right? And I guess this is just I don't know. It's so frustrating to
it's
all these like so-called exemplars of our industry just jeopardize the name and like the prestige of other potential players and professionals.
He has been released. Oz Gaming has put out a statement that they're ending their contract with Free.
Yep.
Yeah, he used to be a player for Contenders Korea, which is, I think, the second tier league for Overwatch.
Is this the same line as all these like sexual predators in our industry? They exist.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're being caught.
I mean, if you feel whenever we talk about these things, like I stutter, and
yeah,
because it's a hard topic to talk about. It's not exactly fun. It's not.
As in, like, there's only one proper way of dealing with this is to root them all out.
And yeah, that's why we have. Them. Yeah, that's why we have to give it voice, right? That's why we talk about it. But it's honestly for me in particular, like, putting it on nerd stuff is not fun. It's a terrible news.
Yeah, but honestly, it's more political than we like it to be. Like, it shouldn't even be political. It should just be like straightforward.
Yeah, it shouldn't even happen. I didn't like that. It's a 12 month.
So okay, the actual conviction is sexual harassment of a minor. And he was sentenced to a minimum prison sentence 1 year. So he's also a sex offender now in South Korea. So you can...
The stigma, right?
Basically, he's marked for life. And I think because we don't know the severity of the offense, I think at least he got punished. That's the only solace we can find. But yeah, any and all forms of sexual harassment, you should just report it because it's not right to live and to suffer by it, even if it's from a more senior person.
Yes, I mean, I know it's I can't imagine being in that position, and I don't think I can speak for anyone, but if you can muster the courage to speak up, I hope you do, then I encourage you to speak up.
Yeah.
If not, confide among the most trusted person. But I hate doing that advice when you confide, because there's a lot of times when you still get betrayed, right? So I actually hate that advice. But in this case, there's really not much you can do. You either could muster the courage and or confide, but I would prefer really if you could muster, find the courage. It does. I mean, if it takes a while, some take years. I think from what I've seen from people who have let it out and have some form of relief after, when they finally have that freedom, that they're not burdened from this. I don't know. I can't, because I don't really have the experience for it. So I think I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our next, and it is a okay. Trying to hype myself up after that depressing topic, but I'm trying to hype myself up for this one. It is the, because I was hyped when I watched it. It is the sudden. It wasn't even announced. NVIDIA has a simultaneous release of unboxing videos for the 3080, the Ampere architecture, the newest Ampere architecture card, their newest flagship card for NVIDIA. So have you watched any of them, Freak? And who did you watch it from?
I didn't watch any unboxing video, honestly. I just watched read the articles.
Oh no.
Because like it's more time economical, right?
To read the articles
than to watch the video. Yeah.
So a bit of a segue there. That's why I read manga more than watch anime because anime consumes so much of my time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a bit of a segue there. So I do understand. That's what I'm trying to say is I understand how you feel. You'd rather read than to spend like 20 minutes wherein you can read it in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. But yeah, for me, I watched the official NVIDIA drop, NVIDIA unboxing video on their channel. And I also watched Bitwits. So,
okay.
Yeah, I also watched Bitwits unboxing video. So those two for my side. And let's start things off with you. What are your thoughts so far on the unboxed 3080?
I think it looks really slick, the Founders Edition, right? You're talking about the Founders Edition?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'll probably be getting a Asus card because NVIDIA doesn't have an office here in Singapore. So the RMA process would be crazy, like complex. So I'll just get the local distributor, MSI, Asus, or Gigabyte. But probably Asus because they're reliable.
Oh, I mean,
yeah, if I'm even getting a card, right?
So for those who want to listen on our opinions, on our direct opinions, I think there are more in-depth opinions about the new cards. You can watch the last episode wherein we talk about it in detail on why you should not get it if you don't need it.
Yeah.
So that's about it. So we're not trying to be Debbie Downers here, but we're not trying to also contradict ourselves from the last episodes. We do like the card. We do want it. But, you know, it's just that, do you need it? That's what we're trying to say from the last nerd stuff. But it's here. So let's talk about what it is. And on your, for you, you're not that highly... From what I understand, you appreciate the Founders card, but you don't want to get a Founders reference card because of there's no local distributor, right?
Yeah, Founders Edition cards are basically the first available cards.
They're swag. They're also swag cards. They have lesser thermals than the third-party cards.
Yeah, the thing is, the third-party ones, they have optimizations built into them. The RMA process is much more easy because, especially if they have a local distributor.
Yeah.
So, while the 3080 Founders Edition looks nice, it's more of a practical reason that I'm not going for a Founders Edition card.
Mine would be an economical reason. I think personally, I like going for Palette since they're fairly cheaper than the rest of the third party. So that's why I like Palette.
Is Palette and there's another one, right? What, Honeybee or Bumblebee or something?
That one.
It's like
have
a Southeast Asia brand.
We don't have that one here. What are you talking about? You don't have that one here. I think next to Palette, the cheapest one you could go for is Zotac.
But it sucks, right, to be known like, oh, they have the cheapest like third-party configuration cards.
So, but you know, it is what it is. I mean, Palette, they don't have that much bling, they don't have that much swag, but they are the cheapest, and they're still the same 3080 or still the same card as everyone else. So
yeah, the same architecture.
Yeah. I wouldn't hold it past that. But for my thoughts on the 3080, I like it. Not sure what I feel about the 12-pin 12-pin socket being... at least for the reference card, right? It's on like at a diagonal angle.
Did your unboxing videos tell you why they needed a 12-pin? Is it just because that...
It's really just unboxing. So according to Bitwit, they can't even plug the card in the PCI socket. So he was showing it like in the video, right? Okay, I'm paraphrasing, of course. What he said was, okay, I can't plug it due to the reasons NDA. That I can't. Yeah. Uh-huh. NVIDIA said no, but I can hover it over GPU-less PC, right? He's hovering it over a GPU-less PC. So you guys will have an idea on how massive it is. Because apparently he can't even.
Oh, yeah. he cannot fit it in, or he cannot plug, not allowed to plug it in.
He's not allowed to plug it in a PCI slot.
Right. Okay.
So that's
the card is huge.
Yeah, the card is huge. So he basically hovered it like with two hands because it's pretty heavy.
Okay, so NVIDIA created the 12-pin connector, but I have confirmations, right, that Inno3D, MSI, Zotac, they are going with 2 8-pin connectors on their RTX 3080 cards.
Oh, great. That's more reason for me not to get the founders.
Yeah, so I think the new so-called 12-pin power connector is, I guess, them trying to put it into one power block, right? So instead of having 2 connectors, you just have one neat connector. So this tells me that you have more things to power, more separate things to power, which I guess is why the card has, like, I think, does it have 2 fans or 1 fan? Yes, two fans, right?
Yeah, it has one at the back and it has one in the front.
Yeah, so this new architecture as well as the new cooling system.
So,
12 pins.
I'll try to relate to you what I heard from what I saw on Bitwit's unboxing. Right? Yeah. So, he was hovering it up, right? Again, not plugged. I'm not trying to throw it under the bus. It's not plugged in NVIDIA. So it's an unplugged card. He's hovering it over a GPU-less motherboard. Then he noticed towards the end the airflow of the fan, because there's a fan at the back. There's one fan at the back. So there's one fan at the back. It will
draw in.
It's a push out air. Well, according to Bitwit, at least from what he noticed.
Okay. Oh wow.
It's a push out air, and what he sees is it will actually give heat to your, if you have like a heat sink thing, it'll actually make your heat sink.
My network card is below my graphics card. So you're telling me it'll heat up my network? Oh my god.
Well, if you're getting the founder's card anyway.
But hot air rises. They should put the output fan on the top.
Another thing is if you have a vertical riser, so that's trend right now. I have it, so my card is vertically raised. So if you have a vertical riser, then you will be pushing air directly to your motherboard.
Yeah. So that means I have to connect my graphics card at the bottom slot, at the very bottom, right?
But you'd have to take into consideration as well, like what kind of PCIe that bottom slot is. Is it like an X16 or an X8?
No, my bottom PCIe slot is for my network card. So, oh my god, there's no way to avoid it. Oh, this is crazy.
That's only for founders. So I'm pretty sure.
Even now, like the triple fan on 3070 or 3080 would just push like 4 times the heat down onto my network card heat sink, right?
And the card is massive. It was
terrible,
I think, like 50% of the card.
It's 2 slots.
Yeah, and the 50% of the card is just heat sink.
It runs so hot. Can you imagine the power draw? I'm looking at the wattage and I'm not convinced, man. I think it's like, it has to spike up massively. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are saying this is like 750 watts, like, and not a lot of people, because of the past architecture of NVIDIA, wherein they didn't draw a lot of power. So a lot of people have went on and bought like 600, 650 watts and basically be happy with it. I thought as well, in my part, we're towards the end of the era when we'd require massive power for cards. So I actually have only a 650. And then
what is your current power?
650.
Right now?
I mean my total watts.
600. So total wattage.
It's like 480, 500. But yeah, I have a 650 watts, but some of my friends are saying like, oh, they have like a 700. I feel like they can squeeze it in. It's like, I don't want you risking that. So they've been, they've been asking me like if they're 700, because technically 750 is the recommended, right? It's not exactly the
750 is recommended, but I personally would recommend 850 or 1K.
Yeah.
If anything, just for system stability.
Yeah, because I wouldn't really want to risk it. So one thing I always tell people when they buy PC parts, never skimp out on your power supply. Because your power supply...
Power supply is cheapest.
Apart from being cheapest, power supply, when they die, they tend to bring someone along with them if they're cheap.
Kill me. I'm going to kill... Okay, so you always have some go-to brands. What is your go-to power
brands? Seasonic.
Oh yeah, I also use Seasonic only. So some people have said that Cooler Master, Corsair power supply units are okay. And honestly, by now, the power supply unit, power PSU industry is basically normalized. So what you have to just look out for is that every PSU is a gold standard 80 and is power rated, in your local country. So what does power rating save in your local country mean? That is that your PSU, when it draws to convert power, no matter how high of a wattage it is, the voltage, it will be stable and is rated stable. So the best thing you can do for yourself is that you get a locally distributed power supply unit and don't save like $20, $30 getting a parallel import, because you are at risk of running afoul of your local power standards. And then you risk blacking out your whole house, or effectively even destroying your computer just because you didn't want to get like spend an extra $20-$40 max.
Or spend that extra $20-$30 to get an RGB power supply.
No. Oh my god. Oh my god.
There are RGB... power supplies now that the fan has RGB.
Look. RGB power supply. Why? You're freaking... The product is to power up your system. Why are you using more power on your fucking power supply to beautify it? Oh my god. It's like so counterproductive. It's a power supply unit, not a power discount unit. Like, what the fuck? Oh my god, Ron. Don't teach builders the wrong thing. And like, oh my god. RGB will not make your computer run better, okay? It's just a color.
What? RGB adds like FPS. It's like a noted fact.
Oh, yeah.
The best known modern myth. Yeah. RGB will add 10 FPS for every source.
Oh my god. Can you imagine if you have enough LEDs, right, that you make your system under one? I want to see that happen. Because you can have a RGB graphics card, you can have a RGB motherboard, because my motherboard has internal RGB. You can have RGB RAM. You can also have RGB SSD, I think. So can you imagine if you have enough RGB strips to
there's
effectively
also,
overload your power?
Yeah, there's also the plates, the video card plates. So they go over on top of your video card, right? So to cover the PCB, because some manufacturers don't like covering the PCB. Yeah. So
or you have empty PCIe slots and you can slot in like the PCIe decorator, which is also
RGB.
Fucking stupid. Oh my god. Oh, there's also another more graphics cards news, right? So if you're looking at actually upgrading your graphics card to NVIDIA, you might want to check if you have your current CPU supports PCIe 3.0, because that's the news for the new graphics card. And if your CPU doesn't support PCIe 3.0, there might be some stability issues until they manage to fix it. So yeah, exercise caution and do your research before you buy a new graphics card.
Yeah, please do. So enough about Team Green. Let's talk about Team Red. What have they been up to? What are they plotting? What is the evil red machine doing right now?
The sister company.
Yeah, so AMD, they are planning a October 3. I think, what is this freak exactly? What's happening on
October 3? If you guys didn't get my joke just now, shame on you. First,
I know what it
Secondly,
is.
Secondly, the head of NVIDIA and the head of AMD, right? They are brother and sister, like literally. So this is like the most epic sibling rivalry, right? It's like they are both so intelligent that rival companies hired them to head up their freaking company. It's like, hello, this freaking anime level rivalry here, okay? Where brother hits on a company and the sister hits on a company. Anyway, AMD will be releasing their new Zen 3 architecture on October 3rd. So they'll be releasing the details on that, having a nice press conference on October 3rd. And their upcoming new Radeon RX 6000, twice as good, right, as the NVIDIA 30 series. Obviously, that's why it's RX 6000. The big Navi dandy in the house, GPUs, will be released on October 28th. So there'll be another press conference for that too. But let's talk about Zen 3 on October 3. Why should we be excited for it?
I don't know. I'm quite happy with my Zen 2 right now.
Oh, you have a Zen 2. What rating is it?
I have a... What was it? 2700X.
2700X. That is the...
Do I have it right or am I drunk?
Yeah. You can just literally go to your properties and...
Yeah, I'm doing that now. I'm like diming DX Dyad.
Hey, so yours is a... Oh, mine is... Oh, I think it's the same.
Wait. So yeah, I do have a 2700X 8-core processor. Yeah. Because I have also as well in one of my brother's computers, like 2600.
So and yeah. How has that CPU been for you so far? Is it good?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. It hasn't been giving me problems. I just recently replaced the thermal paste on it, so it's quite happy. I think that initially, because I'm an early adapter on it, so I'm one of those that had to pray that the BIOS works.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of those. So, I had to flash my motherboard, basically.
Yeah, I also had to. Jesus, I had to install so many different BIOSes. It's like incredible. I had to update it like 7 times. Okay, anyway, enough complaining. The new Zen 3. If it's as advertised, right, it will have 50% more performance compared to Zen 2. So for every rating, it'll have 50% more performance, which is roughly what NVIDIA 3080 is. But we are talking about CPUs now, so that is more exciting because if you guys are unaware, the CPU market on laptop has been steadily being taken over by AMD, not quite yet, but soon enough because of the price performance and wattage advantage it has over Intel. So Intel's innovation, they haven't been like very competitive in terms of like their price rating as well as like how much power Intel laptops tend to consume. So Intel laptops tend to be like hotter. They tend to be like less efficient.
Which was AMD before.
Yeah, which was AMD before, absolutely.
I think
until they came out
Bulldozer
with the Phenom
series. Well, they went back to being the hottest with Bulldozer.
Crazy. Yeah, so basically not innovating or finding new architectures, just doubling everything, which is like stupid because in the first place, you don't double everything because it gets too hot. Okay, anyway, so just be cautiously optimistic for AMD and hopefully they have good details for us.
Yeah, hopefully. Be sure to know, so I want you guys to know that we will be on top of that. We'll be covering that when it releases. So October 3 and October 28th. Make sure.
Oh, I got a recent update.
Yeah?
Apparently it's October 8th. Wow, okay.
October
8th. That's a different new data. Yep, it's October 8th. I'm looking at the Twitter now of one Dr. Lisa Su. And she said, the new journey begins October 8th. And this was just released on September 10th. So there you go, your most recent update.
Oh, okay. There we go. So October 8th for Zen 3 and October 28th for Big Navi.
Yeah. Dendy.
Do you think we're going to get any leak?
I doubt it. It's already so close to the... I mean, okay, yeah, it could still happen, but I doubt it. Like, even the 30 series didn't get leaked.
Yeah, yes.
And we're in the midst of a pandemic, so there's no chance to leak it.
No, there is, because you know what got leaked? The Xbox Series S.
Damn.
The commercial trailer for Xbox, the next generation console, rather, has been leaked. So what do you think so far about it?
What do I think so far?
Yeah, about the
series. I think at the price point, I think it's a pretty good next generation. Because first of all, it's pretty affordable. Like, you know, in a world of like $1,000 mobile phones and whatever, the console is like what, $600+? I mean local currency. And to me, that's a very big I guess respect to the wallets of people out there. And also obviously they're gonna like, oh, this is the perfect gift for the holidays, you know, buy kind of like an Xbox for your children and kind of thing. And funny enough, when the relatively cheap, you think the games are really expensive, but the value packed in the Xbox Game Pass, like over 200 games and 100 for your computer.
Yeah,
you can play on your computer as well, and 100 free games on launch just by subscribing to the Xbox service. Can you imagine, like, if you wanted to have 100 games on your console, you either have to rent it or you have to buy second hand, right? And immediately per game basis, that's already like $70 per game, and it's like they're giving you upfront like $7,000 worth of product
actually,
to play with just by buying their pass.
It reminds me of those 1001 games.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not the shitty one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be shitty games. Well, there could be some shitty games, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be like
shitty games for sure.
Yeah, there's a AAA mix in them. Probably.
Yeah, man, come on.
Yeah, probably Anthem.
Oh, what a hater! Oh, we got a hater here. Oh jeez. Okay, I just realized what's my Ryzen. My Ryzen is AMD Ryzen R7 1700. So I'm like 100 less than you. Sad. 1000 less than you.
Yeah, the past generation. Sad. Basically.
Yeah, but mine is a 16 thread. Why is yours only an 8 thread?
I'm not sure.
Anyway, moving on.
I forgot the whole details anyway for the past gen.
Yeah.
So moving on from that is we have a few world tournaments happening. None of it is Dota 2 still. So we rest in peace for the DPC season. We have the Ubisoft World Cup will be happening across 14 countries, freak. And it will be the Rainbow Six
14?
World Cup. Yeah, it's called the Rainbow Six. Yeah, it's for Rainbow Six World Cup. It's going to be
Germany.
You know
what else was called World Cup? Overwatch World Cup.
But yeah, that I think that had more countries, actually.
Yes.
So,
oh my god, I'm just
so
like,
for...
please don't.
So what is up with the first person in the... and World Cups.
Oh my god, please, no. When will we have a CSGO World Cup? Come on, drop that info on us, Ron.
No. But, so 14 countries will be directly invited. It is Germany, Spain, United Kingdom, Italy, France, United States, Russia, South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, Australia, Canada, Brazil, and Mexico. And then the other 31 regions will have to fight it out in a qualifier. So Rainbow Six, they're one of the games that started off like no one really cared about them. They were just there. But they got better and better and better until I think they're regarded as one of the big names in esports now.
Yeah, they really built themselves up, right? Started off a small community, kind of like, huh, what's the... Everyone was like, huh, what the hell is the competitive mode? What, breach? Or it should be something else. But then it slowly gained momentum because of the R6 franchise. That was a very good move, by the way, for Ubisoft. Yeah. Way to go. Way to build a franchise that is more successful.
There's more love,
and,
right?
And without the funding, yeah, it's a cult. It's not even a cult hit. Like, it's a proper kind of like a franchise, and it's a good kind of structure to implement. And respect to them for building up the esports that way. Like, they built it tournament by tournament. They proved to the big sponsors like Vodafone and many other companies in America that such a franchise could work, like in the face of like a failing and ailing Overwatch League, right? They had to contend against that. They had to assure that the sponsors that, hey, you know, we won't be like that. We'll at least have like a circuit of events. And they've delivered. Yeah, they delivered a World Cup. But oh my god, whenever I see the World Cup, the word World Cup, right? You know what I get clued into?
Yeah, I find it cringy, honestly.
It's not even... it's cringy, but also, like, I get flashbacks of, like, oh, the freaking country, local representatives, kind of like the local IESFs and all the political groups getting involved. Come on, right? I think you've experienced this firsthand, right? Your for your own national qualifiers for the SEA Games.
Yeah.
When SEA Bowl was put into action, you had all these like pretenders and like all these people coming out of the woodwork to say that they are esports experts, but in the end they didn't even contribute to the project. And I'm like, oh no, my god, can you just don't turn it political, please? You call it a World Cup, oh fine, just use the name, but don't try to, you know, try to make it an actual like country involved thing, because that will never end up well.
I think mostly for me, it's, yeah, I don't like how you're locking it down to nationalities, because there are teams wherein you'd be pressed to like have them play against other players. Like, for example, I get the World Cup, right? I mean, even football has it. But for example, there are teams that are really just playing together already. They're synced well. And then they'll be forced to have to practice, to spend valuable practice time to commit to be able to participate at least at a decent level on a World Cup.
Do you remember the first Dota 2 World Cup? That didn't end out well. And we had like, it was like year 8 into the Dota 2 esports and it ended terribly.
Because here's the thing, right? For football, it works because World Cup, when it runs, the leagues actually give way for World Cup.
Oh, yeah. They support the World Cup as well.
Yeah. But, for example, if there is, like, WCG, World Cyber Games, right? When you have to be locked into your country representation.
WCG is cringe.
So, what's going to happen there is, for example, PNC right now is a mix of different nationalities. Then it's not like some big organizer like PGL, ESL, we play it, everyone. They're not going to say, oh, okay, we're not going to host any tournaments for this period because you're going to have your World Cyber Games. No, it's not
exactly.
So it's not like they're going to give way for that. So
World Cyber Games has no authority.
Yeah. Yeah, so TNC will be forced to like, okay, we have to make two squads now. Because one that could play for World Cup Cyber Games and one could play for all these other, especially DPC, all these events like DPC and everything. So that happened before.
I think you've seen it before that all these local brands and local companies and local esports teams, they don't necessarily want to have national level or rather country locked events because it just doesn't make financial sense for them, right?
Yeah.
When they feel the team, they feel the team with the best chance of winning. And now you have to gimp yourself and just try to put together a roster that won't even like synergize well and then spend money on them to train them and try to just to participate in some World Cup that and then when you perform poorly, your fans get angry as well. So it's doesn't really have any benefit to all these.
I don't quite like it. Yeah, I really don't quite like the concept of World Cup for esports unless it's something that the whole community could agree to, that this is the World Cup. But no, we don't really need a World Cup because we have like TI, we don't have TI, but we do have like Worlds, we have the OWL.
We have the marquee major, like super level competitions to celebrate the pinnacle of esports. Like it's actually on like the fan match kind of level, feature match level, where it's like you can't treat seriously because that's not how the esports is being played. It's a borderless esport. And I mean, look at the top R6 teams, right? Like Fnatic. They have Japanese and Hong Kong players in their roster at times. So how are you going to work up that?
Yeah, that's really the thing. That's why I don't like it. But I mean, I'm willing to be proven wrong, at least. After all the things I've said, after I've dissed it, I guess. I'm sorry, Rainbow Six. I love your game. Yeah. I really think it's one of the most, high ceiling barrier FPS games there is right now, and I do love the concept.
It's a bit like Dota.
It's an information overload esports, but apart from that, I just can't agree with the whole World Cup. But I do love to be proven wrong. I would love to be able to eat my words and say, "Wow, this World Cup is great," and I would love to see another one.
I can attest. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I just don't like that this is just something that they're willing to do because, we have to do something because we got to put something out because, you know, it's the pandemic.
We have to do something. We still have to continue our esports.
Yeah. So I don't like it. I understand it, but it doesn't mean I can. I have to like it.
Speaking on personal experience, so I'm... All the World Cups that happen in Singapore, because we have a relatively healthy amount of esports, all the World Cups that happen in Singapore were not very successful. Like, I guess one of the prominent examples were the Overwatch World Cup, I guess. On the community level, there was a lot of unhappiness in how it was organized. The community felt like, you know, certain things weren't done properly, but that was just a problem of awareness, right? So you can't just drop a World Cup and expect the community to rally themselves because there are different interested groups and different groups with different friends. So if you really want to rally the communities based on like a World Cup on a world kind of like a national level, you have to endorse certain community heads and then make them the central point of contact where every single, you know, Rainbow Six player can approach them and they actually have an obligation to respond to every single community. Yeah, so if Ubisoft wants to really handle this, they're gonna have to go riot level and really like intervene on all the community levels of every single country just to make it more legit. But otherwise, it will just be like some kind of like a show match, you know, we have national level esports, that kind of thing. It's going to be a fiasco again.
Yeah. It's Well, I do hope, again, I do hope to be proven wrong. I would love to be able to eat my words. And hopefully World Cup, I hope for the best for Rainbow Six World Cup. Still going on, as it is the Worlds 2020. The corner that they cut is the VCS. They are proceeding on with Worlds 2020. And they have already locked in a date as well. I believe, Freak, you have the date.
Oh yeah, so the dates for World 2020. So it's going to start on September 25th. So right now the players are in a bubble, right? The bubble has to be 12 days. And then it's basically the same as the NBA. So they're following those rules very closely. Playing stage ends on the September 30th. And then they'll transition straight into the group stage, round 1, October 3rd to 6th. And then they'll have a break, 2 days, group stage, round 2, October 8th to 11th. So the difference from the playing stage and the group stage is that for the playing stage, there's a group of regions that have to play for slots for the group stage, where the group stage are all the major regions and all they have already played their region kind of like qualifier and eliminated all the teams already. And then the rest of the rounds, quarterfinals to semifinals to finals, October 15 to 18 for quarterfinals, semifinals October 24th to 25th. And then the World Summoners Cup finals on the October 31st. And unfortunately, Ron, as I said, the major qualifiers have already been decided and SKT1 will not be appearing on Worlds 2020. Oh no, what has happened?
Yes. The equivalent of not having T1, not being able to play, is like a tragedy to some fans.
Oh, it's like OG not qualifying to their second TI, right? Oh my god.
That's
Can you imagine being like dethroned and then the following year you don't even get into TI? Oh my god. Disaster.
Yeah, it's a big thing to be, as in we won't have any repeat this year, right? From what I understand.
Yeah, I think there won't be a repeat winner. It looks like, yeah, definitely. And also sad to say that because there's no VCS representation, local esports company, which is actually now based in Vietnam and actually one of the more dominant teams in the VCS, Team Flash, won't even have a chance of representing some semblance of Singapore on the world stage. Oh,
yeah, at least
so sad.
Southeast Asia, I mean, we have Machi Esports, but they're not exactly Southeast Asian. They're Taiwan.
Yeah.
So
and
I guess
previous year's champion,
yeah?
FPX won't even be there.
Yes.
They didn't qualify.
They didn't qualify either. So that's one thing as well to take note of. But I think for things that I don't like doing, that we have to narrate all these things that we have to be disappointed about, let's find things to be jolly about. What are we expecting from this Worlds 2020? I mean, there's bound to be music. Definitely, right?
Oh yeah, and I think our prediction was right. There were, what? How do you pronounce her name?
Seraphine. I actually don't know how to pronounce her name. I've never heard of it verbally.
Right.
So I've only encountered it in text. So
as expected, Seraphine joined KDA. So I think we're gonna see a virtual representation of her on the big stage, obviously.
Yeah, I think that's going to be... It was a no-brainer. It was bound to happen. It's not something that... I think... I don't know. People should already expect that she'd be on the KDA. Although I have heard rumors. These are only rumors, though. That some people have found like a trace of her file on Wild Rift.
Mm.
Oh, those are only rumors, though.
Yeah.
But it would make sense. Honestly, if Riot Games would be like, oh, League of Legends Wild Rift, here are the first set of champions that we're unveiling. And look who's already on the list. It's Seraphine. That's like a big market boost. Already like committing so many things, so many resources into building up Seraphine that I'm not going to be even surprised if they release her as well in Wild Rift. But yeah, enough about Wild Rift and all that jazz. what I want to know is, what do you expect? So what do you expect from Worlds 2020? For me, it's definitely the music. I love how League of Legends have turned their Worlds 2020 into a complete celebration. Like, it's not on the same way as Valve celebrates Dota 2, but it's definitely more of it's more of a party than a celebration, right?
Yeah, Riot really controls their entertainment very well. If that's a good station, they have been doing this for many years, right? And they have been doing it. There's no outsourcing. There's no so-called free market thing here. It's a very rehearsed, you know, and someone at Riot is driving it constantly. So I think whatever you say, you have to super respect them for at least putting together a very entertaining product, no matter what.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. That's what you're really happy for Worlds 2020. It's basically how it came to be, or how it's being produced.
The fact that it's even happening is pretty amazing. Because everywhere else, like, they just given up, right? Let's go for next year with accounting. Yeah. So it shows you how much coordination and effort it takes. Yeah, you need a monolithic company. And you need to control every single aspect and enforce every single aspect just to get things going. Which is why I hope Ubisoft does the same.
Yeah, I do hope that the Worlds 2020 is successful, as I have nothing but respect and love for the game. And it's something that I actually look for. I don't play League. I mean, I've played it like 2 digits, probably, but I can't really, that's really not enough for me to say that I know the game well enough. I know enough for me to be able to be entertained watching it.
Right, you understand the game.
Yeah. So I can get entertained watching it. So I do have that level of understanding. And I do enjoy how, again, they've managed to make Worlds 2020 yearly a very entertaining party for the players.
Yep.
So let's get on with the meat of the Worlds 2020. Who do you think will take it this year?
Let's take a look at the teams that are participating in Worlds 2020. Yeah.
Let's start off with China. So we have for the qualified for group stage, it's Top Esports, JD Gaming, and Suning. Then for Europe, it's G2 Esports, Fnatic, and Rogue. Then Korea, we have Damwon Gaming, DRX, and Gen.G. For North America, we have Team Solo Mid and FlyQuest. For PCS, we have Machi Esports. And then we have, of course, the play-in stage. For the play-in stage, we have from China, LGD Gaming, Europe, Mad Lions, North America, Team Liquid. For the PCS, it's PSG Talon. Brazil, it's INTZ. CIS, it's Unicorns of Love. Japan, V3 Esports. Latin America, Rainbow Seven. Oceania, Legacy Esports. And Turkey, Papara Super Massive.
Oh my god.
It's a lot.
Okay, obviously Turkey, Oceania, and PCS is not gonna win. I think probably, right? Like, I guess just looking off their recent performance, I think it's gonna be probably a Korea year. Either Gen.G or Damwon.
I personally would love G2 just because I watched them play last year.
This is your heart, yeah, or your head?
No, my heart. I fell in love with how they handled the whole Worlds 2019.
Okay.
They played like a bit of a heel.
Mm.
Yeah, from last year. So I did enjoy that. And so I would love them to at least make a final appearance.
You mean on the Champions stage? Mean they would win? I think they will reach top three, but I don't think they can beat the Korean talents this year. Yeah.
So as for you, it's who among the Koreans do you think will take it?
If it's a Korean top three, it's Damwon, because they won Spring Summer Split and 2020 Spring Split to qualify. So they dominated the entire split. So I think, I don't know, it's just based on the stats. They're just too good. Yeah. They're just too good.
For you it's Damwon Gaming, mine would be G2 Esports. I guess we'll find out once we talk about it on the Nerd Stuff podcast we're in. We'll be tackling the champions, I think, sometime next month. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
For sure.
Definitely be keeping an eye out on Worlds 2020, because what else should we keep an eye out for? Because there's no TI.
Literally the only.
There's no TI. I don't think I'd watch OWL. But yeah.
I mean, if the Real World Cup becomes like there's enough momentum, and the way they organize it is pretty interesting, we will definitely keep an eye on it. Yeah.
We'll see. It's a developing story, I guess. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get a good World Cup out of Rainbow Six.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And I think that's about it for me and Freak here. So again, this has been Scrawn, and with me is my buddy here.
Yo, it's Freak here.
We will see you on the next episode of Nerd Stuff. I think we already set that in stone. We have something lined up either next episode.
We have a special lined up.
So we have a special episode lined up. We'll be back into taking guests again for Nerd Stuff. So we do have a guest for next episode. So hopefully you guys will love it as much as we love it. And we'll see you till then. Bye.
All right. Bye.